This week on Modern Songs, we're taking a trip to France. Phoenix has a new single. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about our history with Phoenix and what we think about the great rock band from France. We're also going to get into my top five songs of 2022 so far. Chris's was last week. Go listen to that episode if you haven't heard that yet. Mine is coming up in a few minutes here on Modern Songs. Welcome, music lovers and loyal listeners, to Modern Songs, the podcast in which two men attempt to figure out the songs of today. I'm Tim Malcolm.
I am Chris Jones.
All right. So how was the Paul McCartney concert? I never asked you. I never got to get your thoughts on Paul McCartney.
The most important thing was my 11-year-old son was absolutely gobsmacked and had a delightful time. He ended up sitting with his cousin. They were a couple of rows in front of me and my sister, so we could see them the entire time. And they knew the words to 80% of the songs. There were a couple Wings things that they didn't quite get into.
Come on.
It was fun. He is unbelievably energetic. He still puts on a killer show. It was fun in all those ways. I sort of mentioned this, but it's like the weirdest thing about it was almost everybody there, I think, knew the set list, and not just in the way of like, okay, Paul McCartney is going to play Hey Jude near the end, but it was like, I think everybody had seen the set list because it was near the end of the show. And it was like, there were a lot of songs that didn't get the reaction that I thought they would. I think it's because everybody kind of knew that they were coming, which was a little bit disappointing and sort of muffled things a little bit. It certainly did not dampen the excitement of my son and my nephew at all, who had not seen the set list. But, it made it for a little bit of a weird experience. But all in all, it was terrific. It was actually the first time I've ever seen him. So I'm really glad I had the chance to see him after I was sort of really reluctant for a while. It was kind of the snobbishness of saying, well, I don't know if I just want to go see McCartney. He's probably not going to be as good, but whatever. No, if you're in that boat, suck it up. Go see it. It's fun.
Yeah. It's a bucket list thing. You got to go see him once. Yeah. You saw him at Oriole Park at Camden Yards in Baltimore. So that was very cool. And you had seats on the third baseline, it looked like. So you got to have the warehouse view, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it was a gorgeous view, lovely night. And we were on that second level, which is kind of the club level. So there's like an air-conditioned walkway behind. It's not like, you know, boxes, but that made it really tolerable. You know, it was like you could go back, and I did once. It went back and just got out of the heat for a little bit because it was pretty warm.
So Paul just turned 80 as well, which was a big deal. That was over the weekend a couple weeks ago. And if you go on my Twitter, you will find my entire thread of my 80 favorite Paul McCartney non-Beatles songs, essentially anything after the Beatles. It's a good list, I think. Got very little comments on it because I don't have a huge Twitter following. But yet, you can go check it out on Twitter. You should. It was good. Any thoughts, Chris? Do you have a favorite Paul McCartney solo track?
Does Wings count?
Yeah, no, I mean, anything after the Beatles was my qualification.
I mean, I'd probably go with one of the classics from Band on the Run, Jet, or I love 1985. That's to me was sort of one of these that it's like, I feel like it was way ahead of its time, like a lot of McCartney stuff. But and then there's the fun stuff like Temporary Secretary. And I will admit, I got, you know, a little teary-eyed when he played the I'm drawing a blank.
Spies Like Us.
the John Lennon track, The Letter to You.
Here today.
Yes. I get a little teary eyed whenever I hear that song, and especially hearing it live.
That's great. So go on Twitter, find my list of my 80 favorite Paul McCartney non-Beatles songs. Okay. Modern Songs, a podcast that talks about music that has just been released, very new stuff, also songs from the past 15 years, and we try to bridge it together. If we talk about an artist that has just released something, we will try to also talk about that artist's past and talk about a song from their last 15 years. So that's what we're doing here this week. We're also going to have my top five songs of 2022 up until this point. That'll be at the end of the episode, but we'll start here with the band Phoenix. They have a new single. It is called Alpha Zulu. So I almost want to talk about Phoenix, like their history and the other song we want to talk about before we talk about Alpha Zulu. I don't know. How do you want to do this?
Do you want? We can do that. Okay. We make the rules.
We do make it's the pot. Yeah, that's right. That's how it works here. Okay, so Phoenix. For those who don't know who they are, so they were formed back in the mid '90s by vocalist Thomas Mars, guitarist Chris Mazzoli, and bassist Dec D'Arcy in Versailles, France. Guitarist Laurent Brockowitz joined later after disbanding an act that he had with the two guys who would soon become Daft Punk. They started releasing songs in 99 and 2000, earning some European chart success. Too Young, which was released in 2000, made it into the Lost in Translation soundtrack, which helped get them some notoriety in America. Of course, Thomas Mars would then marry Sofia Coppola. They're still married today, so they do a lot of stuff with her. Indie success continued through the 2000s, but they stayed relatively under the radar. That is until 2009's Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix, which begat huge American indie hits 1901 and Listomania. Both made the top 10 of the rock charts. Since they've been in and out of the rock charts in America while working on other things besides albums, but on May 27th, they released their first new music in 2 years, and aside from one soundtrack song, really their first music in 5 years. Possibly ahead of a new album, too. This is, of course, called Alpha Zulu. We're going to first talk about 1901 from the Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix album. I imagine, Chris, that that was your introduction to Phoenix, although maybe you were introduced in some other way. Watch your move.
My introduction would have probably been Listomania, so close enough. Okay. I don't know why. I got into that one first, but that was the one that sort of was, that was the first one that sort of like hit my radar, and which I love too. But both of them were sort of back to back. I immediately got the, you know, downloaded the album. I'm sure I know I have it on vinyl as well, and I love the entire album. It really holds up well, and it's one of those that it's fun in that it's a cool album that sort of goes back and forth. There's some slower tracks, there's some more sort of some more atmospheric tracks, and then these two sort of jump off. It's like if you were to listen to the album out of nowhere, you would know that there's two tracks that are, you know, hit singles, and that's Listomania and 1901. They're both great. So that era is definitely when I got into Phoenix, and I've listened to everything that they've put out since then, and it's just sort of never quite caught me the same way, even though there's never been a moment where I've been listening to it and been like, ah, this is bad. It's always just kind of been like, all right, fine, I'd rather go back and listen to Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix again.
So that was their fourth album, and it was the one that broke them here in America. And like almost all Phoenix albums, there's no drummer, so it's a lot of samples, a lot of drum machine work. As far as 1901, Mars wrote it as an ode to Paris in 1901, sort of fantasizing about being there at that time and connecting it to young love. It's synth pop. It's great synth pop. It has a driving beat. You're right about that album. You know, 1901's on it, Listomania's on it, but you also have Lasso, which was sort of a minor hit. Girlfriend's a great little song. I absolutely love the Love Like a Sunset series, part one and part two, which comes in the middle of that album, sort of the centerpiece of the album. I feel like I've actually heard those songs more than anything else on the album. It's a classic album. It's fantastic. But I mean, I love the fact that 1901 has this sort of throwback sound with the synth pop, but yet it sounds very much of that moment with the chiming guitars, that driving backbeat, sort of a dance floor sound, but not too heavy on that four on the floor kind of a thing. You know, it's like a great combination of a lot of different sounds that were coming of age in 2009. You think about like M83 and Beach House, and we talked about Yeah Yeah Yeahs and their It Splits album from that era, which was very sort of synthy and dancey. This is kind of right in that whole lane, but it has its own very unique sound with the very guitar forward attack that they have.
Yeah, I mean, they're one of those bands that they managed to craft a signature sound, I think. And it's largely sort of the beats that they're able to, you know, that the beats that they come up with while not being repetitive. It's like, you know, there are things that you hear, and if you've never heard it before, it's sort of, it's like you can sort of tell, ah, that sounds like it could be Phoenix, you know, even before the vocals kick in or anything like that, which I just think is really cool. And it's really hard to do. And it's, they've managed to really craft a really smart space in what they do. And like I said, I always think that's cool that when you're able to do something that it's you, but it's not necessarily sounding the, you know, quote unquote, the same.
It dawned on me researching for this, how much we were into France in the late 2000s between Phoenix and M83 and Daft Punk, even Coldplay's Viva La Vida album. The artwork on the cover is of Liberty leading the people, which is this famous French painting from the 19th century that sort of launches the French romanticism era, kind of gets out of the sort of the what was the era before that? I forget the era before that. But nonetheless, we were really into France in the late 2000s for some reason. Like there was this sort of, was it just because what was coming out of there was sort of so, you know, it was sort of catering to our taste with the synths and the sort of poppier sort of sound? Do you have any thoughts on that? You might not, but I, you know, it's just weird how, like, thinking back, like, oh yeah, we liked a lot of French artists back then.
Yeah. I mean, I always think there's something that, American audiences kind of like they like sort of the worldliness of saying, oh, I like this artist that's from Spain or from France. But we also like it to be easily accessible. So when you have a French artist that sings in really good English and where the lyrics are definitely catered to things that we understand and is kind of like an 80s throwback sound, it's pretty much kind of a natural that it's going to be at least somewhat of a hit. In the same, I mean, you know, it's like Daft Punk's always been kind of a critical darling, but I don't know. So maybe not necessarily anything specific of the era, but the fact that maybe there were a few artists who were, you know, knew each other, overlapped, who were really good at tailoring to what was going to be popular, or at least popular for a certain audience in America.
Which is why Johnny Hallyday never made it in the U.S., right?
Yes.
The great Johnny Hallyday. So, all right. So Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix, that was a big album sort of, what, 15 years ago almost now? My God. But here we are with a new Phoenix song, Alpha Zulu. Cover your eyes, Alpha Zulu. Watch your body over time. So first impressions on this, I guess, you know, it's a little bit more of a dance heavy track.
I enjoy it. It's funny because I actually had read something about it before I heard it that described it as something like heralding like the, you know, brash new sounds of Phoenix or something like that. So I was expecting something very different, and then listening to it, it sounds like Phoenix. I mean, it sounds good and it does sort of, but it's like, it wasn't anything that was shocking to me. That's for sure. But it does sort of have a little bit more, you know, a little bit more of a dancey vibe to it, I guess. And it feels again, like, you know, we've talked about a couple tracks like this in the past, but it feels like one that could be a really good indication of what's going to come if there's an album that's down the line, that it's like, you know, building off things that made them popular, tweaking things here and there, and trying to move forward without, you know, a radical reinvention.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. We talked about the new song from Yeah Yeah Yeahs a couple weeks ago, and that sounds like Yeah Yeah Yeahs, but it's just a little bit more left of center for them, to where there's a bit more bombast, it's a bit more arena, I guess, in some ways. And so you can tell that there might be a different sound, but it's still very much rooted in who they are for this next album. I think that's about the same here. The title comes from, apparently, Thomas Mars was on a plane. There was a lot of turbulence, and he overheard Alpha Zulu, and that just kind of, you know, drew out the song. And so I'm listening to lyrics, I'm reading into them and things, and there's a lot of imagery about religion and your God and Hallelujah. I'm not sure if I'm a big fan of the woo-ha. I think only Busta Rhymes should only ever say woo-ha. But there's a lot of religious imagery in this, and there's a lot of sort of, one of the lyrics is about, what is it? It's why choose your body over time with me? Another lyric on here is, died at 51 in 1953. You know, why did I die at 51 in 1953? Something like that. So if you're 51, dying in 1953, what year could you have been born in?
Are you thinking of throw this back to 1901?
There you go. There you go. So that's kind of why I want to talk about that first. I wonder if this is a comment of some sorts by Phoenix on their past success, and how sort of what they are now is not the band that did the song, you know, 13 years ago, that that band has died, right? Like that band died in the plane crash or whatever. And now they're doing something a little different here. And, you know, why would you want to be with your body back in 2009 when you can be with me in 2022? Maybe the spirit who's doing something different. Is that too much of a read-in? Am I being crazy? Am I putting on a tinfoil hat here? Like, I feel like there might be something there. Like, to say 51 and 53 like that, like, you do the math and you're like, oh, wait a sec, 1901. I mean, come on. Like, or is that just too much?
No, I mean, they're definitely clever in that way. I mean, we talked a little bit about Listomania, which is a really, really fun song lyrically as well, and about Franz Liszt and the idea that he was this, you know, classical composer. I might be getting the error wrong. He might not technically have been classical. I apologize. But who had this like rabid fan base and things like that. And it was sort of comparing him to a rock star. And they're very clever lyrically. I was going to go much more basic. And there's the lyric about how, you know, it says, what's your Mona Lisa, mortalized, decapite. And I was going to say that they were the ones who hired that guy to throw the cake at the Mona Lisa. It's like an album release publicity stunt.
That actually, it's not a bad thought. Those French, they can really stir up some crap. But no, I like this. It's a cool little track. It's not going to necessarily stick with me, but if this, as you said, is the prelude to what their sound is going to be on their upcoming album, hopefully there is an upcoming album. It's exciting, and that's something I will definitely want to listen to. So. Cheers to Phoenix. I think I think Alpha Zulu is a nice step in their forward progression.
So it is your turn now, right? It is your turn to give us your top five songs of 2022 so far.
Oh boy, big stuff. Yes, my top five. So this is not my favorite five. It's my top five. I think that's what you were doing too, was your top five. Number five, let's go. Number five, it's going to be The Heart Part 5 from Kendrick Lamar.
Celebrate new life when it come back around. The purpose is in the lessons we learning now. Sacrifice personal gain over everything just to see the next generation better than ours. I wasn't perfect, the skin I was in that truly suffered. Temptation and patience.
We talked about that some weeks ago ahead of his newest album, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. I think The Heart Part 5 is the best thing he put out in that entire run. It's this very vital track about what it means to be a black man in America, especially one who has a lot of fame and who is looked at as important by a lot of people. And he draws in all of these people, all these black men from the past, whether they've had success, Well, they've all had success, whether that success has been with good things or some bad things. And most of them have been very controversial. And it's a very interesting record. Of course, he ends up by talking about Nipsey Hussle and sort of almost penning a letter to Nipsey's kids and Nipsey's fans, you know, kind of being the voice of Nipsey Hussle in some ways. I just think it's an outstanding track, one of his best songs ever.
Yeah, I talked about it on the episode too. I really like that one. I'm still thinking that the album as a whole will grow on me a little bit more, and I hope it does. Again, there's nothing. It just hasn't quite hit home in the way that track did. But every once in a while, there's moments on it. There's parts of it that have. So that is a great track.
My number four track from the year so far. So, Chris, you alluded to this in our last episode. I guess I'm a rock critic. Matilda by Harry Styles. Everyone you know, not invite your family because they never showed you love. Don't have to be sorry for leaving and growing up. Great song. Beautifully written. It's, as I said when we talked about the album, Harry seems to find himself writing one of these beautiful little songwritery pieces, almost like Paul McCartney does, you know, once every album. And it's this great little story, perfectly performed in the middle of that album. I think, like you said, with Little Freak, it sort of helps point the way toward what Harry can be going forward. Yeah, I mean, I had As It Was pretty close to my top five. I had Late Night Talking close to my top five. I think that's just a bop. But, you know, it's a good album. I mean, what can I say?
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, it's great. It's probably my album of the year so far. And there's a lot of others that I've really enjoyed. And there's so many great tracks on it. And, you know, I think we picked different tracks from that one for our top five. But I think the motivation was very similar.
My number three song from the year so far is a curveball in a sense that we haven't talked about this artist yet, mostly because the album just came out and I am discovering it. And man, oh man, Nova Twins, the song is Puzzles. Have you heard them?
I have not heard this one, no.
So Nova Twins, they are from London. They are a duo of Amy Love and Georgia South. They are, I imagine, just like very young in their 20s. They've been around since 2014, and they do a lot of different things, but their overarching sound is nu metal, which is really effing awesome because I grew up loving nu metal. I was a big like Korn, Limp Bizkit, Deftones fan, all that stuff. They're awesome. Puzzles is really great. It has a lot of new metal, but it also has a little bit of that sort of Latin influence. We talk about Rosalia. There's a little bit of that sound, that sort of rhythm that's baked into their sound. They are energetic. They say a lot about what it means to be a woman, especially in rock music. They're a lot of fun. They're just great. And this album that they just came out with, Supernova, came out here in June, is terrific. I've been listening to it a lot over the past couple of days. Terrific. So Puzzles, my number three.
I will have to check that one out.
My number two song from 2022 so far is my girl Maggie Rogers with That's Where I Am. We talked about that some weeks ago on the podcast. Man, I just think her sound for 2022 is shaping up to be my favorite. It's big and anthemic and has huge power chords and huge choruses, big bridges that lead into those choruses. She's just going for broke here. I can't wait to hear what this album is. That's Where I Am is about this person who means a lot to her, and she's been holding back, you know, making it happen with that person. But now that she feels confident in wanting to love that person, it's happening. And Where I Am is in love. And so it's this really optimistic, bold, buoyant track, all about it.
Yes. I also really like what she's put out so far this year, and I'm very excited for that album.
Okay. So finally, my number one song for 2022 so far, Like Exploding Stones by Kurt Vile. I first got wind of this back in February when it came out just ahead of his new album, which is Watch My Moves. And it hit me like a ton of bricks in some ways, coming off of the pandemic, I'm still going through some stressful times in my life. I think a lot of us are. What it means to be an adult who has to juggle responsibilities with our own sort of failures independently. The anxiety and the sort of stream of consciousness way in which he presents this track. I mean, it's a very Kurt Vile thing, but this one in particular, it sort of gets into your head and it doesn't get its way out. It's been staying with me the entire year. And it's the one that if it comes on at any point, or it just shows up my playlist or whatever, I'm sitting there and I'm listening to it for the full, 6 to 7 minutes. I'm in a vibe, I'm there. And it's my song of the year so far.
Very cool. I'm a huge Kurt Vile fan. I guess by the time this comes out, it will have been a couple weeks earlier that I saw him at Free at Noon at WXPN, World Cafe Live, where he just played by himself. It was mostly acoustic, although he took a couple, one song on electric guitar, I think, and then another song on piano. He's just really an amazing sort of, it's like he's this understated personality, but also manages to pull off these kind of epic tracks. And I love that one as well. I like his entire album of this year. It seems like it's a little more personal than some of the stuff that he's done in the past, as far as like really him. I think some of the other ones have been a little bit more sort of observational about the world, and this one's more a little bit introspective, which I like, and I think he pulls it off really well.
So there you go, my top five so far for 2022. Again, Chris's top five for 2022 so far was in the last episode. Go listen to that if you haven't yet. We want to hear yours. If you have a favorite song from 2022 so far, or a top five or whatever, reach out to us. You can email our Hall of Songs email, hallofsongspod@gmail.com. You can also just let us know on Twitter @modernsongspod, or you can call me. No, you can't. I'm kidding. Maybe we'll get to a hotline one day. That'll be fun.
We could give out Paul McCartney's number. He gave it out at the concert. Text Paul McCartney. Tell him what your favorite song is. He'll get it to us.
He'll absolutely answer. Yeah, he will answer too. He'll talk to you for like 20 minutes. He just never shuts up. So, Chris, where can people find us so that if they want to tell their friends and family members who love music, they can go and find our podcast and listen to it?
Well, your friends and family members are in luck because we are at every place where podcasts are to be found. If you have an iPhone, go find us at the Apple podcast app. Rate us and review us there because that does help more people come across us. But you can also get us at Spotify or at Amazon or Google, or if you use any kind of the apps that get podcasts, we'll be there too. So wherever it is, subscribe, rate us, review us, whatever the platform is, it always helps drum up more listeners when you give us a good rating.
That's right. And we will be back next week, next Wednesday, with a new episode. Thanks, by the way, to Aaron DeLashwood, Piper Down Productions, for the logo work. And thanks to you for listening. Always a pleasure to have you on board. For Modern Songs, I'm Tim.
I'm Chris.
Check you later.